Cage on the air, and have we started it but not finished, so will we stay spoiler free? Yes! Is there Avengers 4 news? Absolutely! And is there a whole world of Spider-Man to discuss? From Homecoming to Far From Home, we're going all the way! This is Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. I don't know why we have spirit fingers.
It's just, you know, that's how you kick off a show.
Always have spirit fingers on a Tuesday. Once again, Amy had to remind me it was Tuesday today because I'm great at knowing who, where, and when I am.
I definitely thought it was Wednesday.
I thought it was Monday, so we would have both been lost. Thank you for reminding
the
me.
The average is Tuesday.
That's true. Here we are.
You guys are almost right.
She's like, hey, I'm seeing Ant-Man today. I'm like, I'm going to a screening tomorrow. Tuesday. Today. So, welcome to a show where hopefully I know who I am. This is Marvel Movie News. I know that much. This is episode 186, which is just crazy to me. 14 episodes to go. Somewhere in September, we'll hit the big 200. Very excited about it. You can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can find us through Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at Popcorn Talk. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and if you retweet a link whilst we are live, Ant-Man Vinny in the booth will retweet you.
What's this about Killmonger coming back?
So Killmonger!
What?
You may have heard of him. Well, actually, you know what? We'll get to that after we introduce our lovely panel. Joining us at the desk, the associate producer extraordinaire. Where can they find you, Amy?
Hi! You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, which is an abbreviation for Martinez.
And we're going to find you, good sir.
Hi.
Joining us again, Mr. Trevor Stein.
Yes, I'm back. I'm scrubbing it up with my backwards hat and my unshaved face.
Welcome to Tuesday slash Wednesday.
You can find me at Trevor_Steins on Instagram and Twitter.
So last time Trevor was on.
And Vero, if you guys use me.
What?
You and Zack Snyder, just two guys on
Vero. Yeah, we're holding it up. We're. Aww.
I was only opening it to check Zack Snyder's posts, and then I realized, like, I had the internet. Right. So I took it off my phone. Like, but I tried for, like, a month. I kept being like, this is relevant.
They're trying. Yeah.
So we had Trevor on a few weeks ago, and the man loves his Marvel and doesn't have enough places to talk about it. So I was like, I know the man for this giant show today. There's so much to talk about, and I didn't even prep him. So we're just going to go through
it. I haven't even looked at the list.
He doesn't know what's coming.
This is exciting.
So fans of improv. So you were saying about Killmonger possibly coming back.
Yeah, I was. What's up with that? What's
so,
the deal here?
I do believe there's a video that might tie into this very, very conversation, which intrigues all of us. Do we have that?
Cueing it up.
There it is.
You heard it here first. I'm going to put my word in on that. Eddie, I mean, look, it's a comic book universe.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, he's dead, but
what?
You never know or no. You want does it feel like one and done with that character?
I mean,
that
could be Jordan's fan of Marvel, of comic book spirit, you know that everybody knows that. So, I mean, if it was ever an opportunity for me to come back and, like, join this universe and work with, like, you know, Joe Russo or Kevin Feige and Victoria and everybody over there at Marvel, reteam with Ryan, you know, of course I would.
Not to get serious for a second, but I noticed your production company, you adopted the inclusion ride.
That's right.
Which is a really important thing.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what that means and, what, like, why you guys chose to do that for your...
So, this is obviously a man going, I will never say no to anything. I don't know what's going on. My character died, but in comics, well, what's death?
Exactly.
Yeah. To me, this wasn't as big of a statement as the internet was like trying to make it to be, but it was a statement from Michael B. Jordan saying, yes, please.
Yeah, this headline is... Actor willing to work again.
What? Talented actor wants to work for Marvel.
Right. But actually, you know, I had a theory after watching Black Panther. I think if Michael B. Jordan / Killmonger were to come back, it would be in the spiritual plane because he was technically a Black Panther.
That's what I was thinking
and
from
so
the beginning.
He'll show up in the like the spiritual plane with all the elders or the ancestors, the previous Black Panthers. He'll be there.
And his character growth was such that like his arc beautifully mirrored T'Challa's, which is why the movie's so strong, is like the Marvel villain problem was like these guys, like Ironmonger, Iron Man, like that went on for a while. Black Panther to me answered that with they're the same with opposing viewpoints. Here's how their arcs can reflect each other.
Yeah.
And this was a beautiful thing with Killmonger is that he was right to a point. And then you find that middle ground of ideas. And T'Challa did adopt a lot of his philosophies. So I'd love to see him in the astral plane as, you know, with that growth and to see how it might affect T'Challa's choices going forward. And I'd love that reflection. I don't want him to come back from the dead because then it would defeat the third act. Like that would like crumble the first movie. He's like,
yeah, I mean, that punch at the end where he's like, bury me in the sea with my ancestors for me to jump from the ships instead of being whatever.
Yeah, like not going into slavery, dying instead.
Yeah, I think it would take the weight away from that. But I think if he's going to show up, it'll be in the astral plane. What do you think?
I mean, like, I get it. It makes sense for him to not come back. But I think when we all just fall in love with a character, we just want to see more. So pretty much in any kind of way that he can come back, not, you know, denying everything that happened in the third act, but just anything that we can get, I think us fans would be like, yes, please.
I just think it would be a really interesting dynamic to have him, like, going, maybe, like, communing with his ancestors for guidance and having Killmonger as, like, a little, like, angry devil on his shoulder.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of feeding him his own viewpoints and
in the astral plane.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Safely in canon. I like that idea.
And challenging T'Challa's like views on the world.
Like, I love the spoiler for Jessica Jones season 2 that came out 6 months ago. I love that they had basically Purple Man existing as the devil because he would affect her psychologically forever, and they didn't bring him back, but he did come back, and I think that Killmonger could have a similar effect.
Jessica.
It was so haunting. That episode was so like under your skin.
But it was so good too because you knew that they appreciated what the fans liked, but they also had to respect, like, hey, it's not going to make sense for him to come back the entire time. So just a little bit. Give us a little something.
A taste.
Yeah.
So it's Black Panther obviously is Markia's guy. Markia cannot be here today because she has another game. She's doing a game engine thing, so check her out there. And we will be going to Vegas. I saw the live chat, thought she was in Vegas. We will be going to Vegas on Friday with Schnepp and the Heroes guys. So if you guys are in Vegas, near Vegas, or have expendable money, Vegas is where Markia I will be this weekend. She's not there yet. She's just not here. Ant-Man and the Wasp, we are seeing tonight because it's Tuesday.
Yeah, I wore yellow and black and red to kind of embrace the colors.
I respect it. I saw the amount of Spider-Man news, and since he's my boy, I leaned into that. But I get it. Ant-Man, Spider-Man, both insect mans.
I just wore my only clean Marvel shirt that I had left.
Sorry, arachnid and insect. I know. I was going to get corrected in mere moments. I had to get it. I beat you to it. So basically, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I haven't seen yet. A lot of people on the internet have. There was a screening last week at Disney I couldn't make it to. A lot of people have seen it. I know nothing, though. So anything I say here is not a spoiler because I'm guessing. They're saying how it connects directly to Avengers 4. But I'm assuming that means post-credit scene because I've said before, Ant-Man and the Wasp is beautiful in its nature of being its own little corner. Mm-hmm. Like Guardians, you don't want the levity of Paul Rudd to be tarnished by the oppressive darkness of Infinity War. So I feel like Michael Pena getting dusted would affect people negatively.
No.
Once again, stop. I'm just saying.
Leave my Michael Pena
He's
alone.
So good. So, at the very end of this newly released featurette about Evangeline Lilly's Hope Van Dyne, Feige officially confirms what we've been speculating, that it will directly connect, and that through the quantum realm, we'll see where these characters go, saying, quote, these characters are going to be very important going forward. It's safe to say the characters you're referring to are Wasp and the Ant-Man, but could characters like Ghost and Bill Foster also become part of Avengers 4? We don't know, but what do you guys think? Do you think that brings, do you think the whole Ant-Man canon bleeds into Avengers, or do you think it's going to stay its own pocket?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be really interesting to see, because I think the quantum realm, that whole, like, story aspect of the Ant-Man franchise could have some really interesting implications in the larger MCU.
Yeah.
And so I think if they kind of utilized that and brought some of those elements through the Avengers films and into Avengers 4, I mean, you know, it would be really interesting.
Like, I want them to tie it in somehow, but I also do not want to leave the movie theater feeling really sad.
That's what's hard is this needs to be that lifting up because that movie broke us.
Because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, you're just going to see a bunch of people get dusted.
Again? Like, we just got over that. Not even over it. We just experienced it. Like, if we just, like, go back into another movie, like, Marvel again.
My God.
Why? Dang. Guys.
But how can they not?
Exactly.
Like, how can continuity not tie that
in? If it's
in?
Supposed to tie directly in, because you're also going to see how you're going to have to see how, like, Ant-Man and possibly the Wasp hook back up with the Avengers for Avengers 4.
Yeah. And that has to happen. Otherwise, continuity. I mean, these aren't comics. This is hundreds of million dollar movies. It has to all work. So I'm really curious. A lot of people think that maybe the quantum realm lends into the idea that they went to another plane, that the deaths didn't count as deaths. I disagree.
I don't think that's
true, would be a cop out, and Marvel gets a lot of crap for copping out about death. So I feel like those deaths have impact, and I do feel like the line "we don't trade lives" Cap is the only line that was repeated in Infinity War.
I definitely
think Cap and the OG Avengers sacrificed themselves. That's gonna happen, and that means those deaths did happen. I mean, Spider-Man 2 does come out right after Infinity War 4, or Avengers 4, Infinity War 2. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Spider-Man Far From Home. It's called Spider-Man Far From Home!
Yes.
What do you guys think of the title?
You want
to... Yeah, I'm pumped. Well, I also love, we'll see a video about this soon, but I love the way we found out about it. I think it makes sense because he is far from home. Like, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... In a way, he feels lonely. Yeah. So Far From Home makes total sense. But it's also like, they're not going to give away too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously that we'd be able to figure out. So like Homecoming, for example, that was like, okay, Homecoming, you know, being welcomed home.
Well, that had layers because the Homecoming dance, there was Marvel getting Spider-Man back.
Spider-Man was coming home to Marvel.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers in it.
I love that double meaning. And actually, to be honest, like when I first heard the title for Spider-Man Homecoming, it didn't like strike me. I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting, and it definitely grew on me, and I'm expecting the same for Far From Home, because when I first heard it, I was like, all right, that's an interesting, you know, subtitle.
All right,
for
that's long.
Yeah, it's like, it's not just a word, it's, you know, a sentence. But I do like it. You know, I was thinking about this on my drive over here to the studio, that one of my favorite things about Spider-Man Homecoming was that it really, that movie embodied the friendly neighborhood aspect of Spider-Man, where like you didn't even see him swinging from skyscrapers in Manhattan. It was all in Queens and like,
he got,
you know,
a churro. He saved,
like,
a bike.
Right. Like these low buildings. And I know, you know, I've read a report that like it's supposed to, he's going to be in Europe for this one. Right. So he's going to be far from home in that aspect.
Right.
I also like that, you know, at the end of Avengers 4, or sorry, at the end of Infinity War, he was on a different planet. Like, he was literally as far from home as
he could
possibly be.
He's a child that has been to space, been to another planet, has now died.
Yeah.
Like, that's about as far from home as you can experience.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see, like, how that title is going to work more thematically with the movie. Because I know he is going to be literally far from home because he's supposed to be in, like, Europe. But I
I'm
interested in like what it's going to mean for him as a character.
I think Mysterio's not going to be from the States, which I like.
Yeah,
I think that having Spider-Man to me is integrally tied to New York.
Yeah.
I love that. But I also have always hated the fact that everything in Marvel is in New York in some way. So it's like, okay, we gotta land at JFK, go through security, start our villaining.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I really like when Spider-Man as a character is placed on the world stage, you know, when you have such like a small town character that's put in these like larger than life situations with these world ending catastrophes or villains, I think that really makes his character shine because he's like just a kid from a small town.
He's an underdog in an environment he can't hang.
Exactly. And I think that really lets his character shine. So I'm excited to see how that maybe will be exemplified in Far From Home. And I know this is kind of tangential, but like my secret hope, right? Because this is supposed to happen right after Avengers 4.
Yep.
My secret hope is that at the end of Avengers 4, Spider-Man comes home from Titan with a symbiote.
Yep.
And then,
have you seen the Boss Logic painting?
Yeah, I did.
Dude.
And it was amazing.
Have you seen it?
No.
So the symbiote comes from space in most continuities.
Okay.
In the animated series, they had it land on Earth in like a meteorite. In the comics, it's from Secret Wars where he's fighting and he like has a suit. He's got his suit all tattered. So he goes in this machine that he thinks is going to repair his suit. And then he gets the symbiote attached to him, has the black suit, doesn't know it's an alien for issues and issues. And it was also, keep in mind, the first time in 252 issues where Spider-Man had a different suit. Issue 252, that cover was Spider-Man in the black suit that mirrored Amazing Fantasy 15. It was the first time Spider-Man had ever been in a different suit.
Designs now submitted by a fan as well.
Wow.
Now there's hundreds. Like, now it's not. Yeah. Now, if you look at a superhero, you're like, that's not a big deal that he's in a different suit. Then it was insane.
It was so iconic.
Way more of a deal. So the black suit means a lot to me. It also means a lot to comic fans. I would love if Far From Home ties in any way.
It would, yeah,
It'd be insane. He's little young as far as canon and as far as continuity. Yeah, but I'd rather have that than not.
They could do it. I mean, especially by the time this movie comes out, Tom Holland's going to be like, what? Like
22.
Yeah, he's gonna be older. It's gonna be a couple years.
But I always thought of Spider-Man with the symbiote as like a 30-year-old man with like Mary Jane and him were serious. He was like dealing with like I'm a photographer and I gotta deal with this reporter Eddie Brock. So it's funny because my brain's like, those aren't kid problems.
Yeah, it's definitely like the symbiote, we're a little off topic, but the symbiote is totally it works better, I think, when he's been Spider-Man for a long time.
Like a decade for me.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you really see how the symbiote like affects his behavior.
It's Inigo. Yeah. The thing I always liked about the symbiote, similar to why I like Ben Reilly, is that Spider-Man has great power meeting great responsibility. It's the idea of this conflict of power and responsibility. I always like the symbiote because my concept of the symbiote is I am overwhelmed by responsibility. This is this outlet. Like, to me, the symbiote's almost like an abusive drunk. To me, the symbiote's almost like
it's definitely a drug, yeah.
It's like Tony Stark's Demon in the Bottle.
Yeah.
So, to me, the reason I like Ben Reilly is, to me, that represents, like a conflict of self. So, it's an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, when you snap, people have disassociative concepts.
Yeah.
So, I like Ben Reilly because it's like, am I even me? Have I been me? So those are two of my favorite arcs that like people have conflict with. But if Spider-Man doesn't have the black suit, that's a really hard thing to have Venom. Even though I'm defending the Tom Hardy Venom movie till the cows come home, I really hope Far From Home has some sort of symbiote flavor.
Yeah, me too.
But how'd you guys like the reveal? How'd you like the Tom Holland cutesy little video?
So adorable. I mean, obviously it was planned.
Yeah,
it
definitely
of
was.
Of course,
yeah. It definitely wasn't one of these like typical accidental reveals. Oops.
But I liked that they played into his penchant for ruining shit.
So cute. We actually have the video.
Oh, do we? Let's do it.
It's amazing.
Hey guys, look at that cutie Tom Holland being adorable. He also looks 17 and going on 22.
Yeah, right? he's
gonna work forever.
He's the perfect Peter Parker, man.
And we can Harry Potter this and have 9 of these, you know?
Like, yeah, that's why they hired
young. I love that idea.
Yeah. That's the goal, I think, I hope.
I'm a little confused because I died.
Spider-Man and the...
Spoiler.
I do know is I got the new script. I'm super excited to read it.
I loved his Instagram, people just freaking out. Like, Tom, don't show that, like, all of his fans, like his kids.
I mean, like, you know it's fake because when you pull up a script on an iPad, that's
not
what
it looks
like. It
does not have that cover.
I know.
I've never, like, as an ex or sometimes actor, I've never, like, held a cover photo that was, like, manicured.
The
like,
black background and everything.
Literally, like, in the script font and there's 87 drafts listed and then the title, that's it. Like, but it was very cute to see that, like, kind of reveal, and I loved fans freaking out. I even tweeted, like, if this is fake, blah, 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 because I loved the idea that they're leaning into his...
Yeah, they're definitely, like, playing with the fans, which is hilarious. It shows how aware of their audience, like, Kevin Feige and everybody at Marvel is.
And
which
playful,
is amazing,
which I respect. Speaking of Kevin Feige being playful, he confirmed the title very soon after so as to not put Tom Holland in the hot seat, because a lot of the internet is like, ah, it's fake. And he said, quote, "We start filming early July. We film in London. We shot the first film in Atlanta, and we shoot a lot of films in London, but there's another reason we're shooting in London, which is, yes, Spidey, of course, will spend some time in New York, but he'll spend some time in other parts of the globe, being that he's far from home." He also went on to say that the title was accidentally blah, blah, blah. He's saying, quote, "It's similar to Spider-Man Homecoming. I won't say what the meanings are, but we enjoy that title because, like Homecoming, it is full of an alternate meaning, and we like continuing the home thing with the little Spidey symbol in the home." Yeah. So I like that there's going to be like maybe a trilogy of home.
This one's Homefront.
Yeah, there's so many options you can do.
Well, Gamer Girl in the chat did say, you know, like, is this going to be a thing that every single title related to Spider-Man is going to have the word home in it?
I think so for the first three, maybe.
I kind of like that naming scheme, you know?
Yeah.
You could call it like Almost Home or Homefront or...
Homebound.
Homebound is a good one, yeah.
Homeward Long Bound.
Homeward Bound, yeah.
Long Ways Home.
Long Way Home, yeah.
You know.
Like, there's a lot of play there.
Yeah,
and
it's like, I think it's, you know, it's evocative, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you feel things when you think about, like, the concept of home and, like, especially, again, with Spider-Man being such a small town hero, so connected to, like, his family and his life back home. You know, it's, I think it's a poignant naming scheme.
Well, he's really relatable, too. Yeah. Like, granted, we do not have special powers that we know of.
I
but
mean, maybe you guys don't.
I'm looking.
Well.
I've been bit by a spider. It sucks.
It does. I think I was once, so I'm still waiting for those powers. But you feel like you could be Peter in these situations. Mm-hmm. And having that whole homey feeling, homey vibe, really just brings it
Home. Woo. So I love the way they revealed it. I love Kevin Feige within a few hours going, no, 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 he's not in trouble. I think it was very cute. I like the title. It's growing on me. I didn't at first, I'm not going to lie. But I really think that it's going to be, I love this new Spider-Man. I think he's perfect. Yeah. I love Tom Holland. I love how much Marvel's fingerprints are all over both the Spider-Man crossover and his independent movies. Like, it's the symbiosis of Sony and Marvel is beautiful. Yeah. So I'm very excited. You guys have any final Spidey thoughts?
Yeah, no, I just, like, again, I'm super interested to see how the title, what the title means thematically, and how, and especially how it relates to however Avengers 4 ends, you know?
Yeah.
How it, like, how Peter as a character will change throughout those movies.
Mm-hmm. I hope the third one has a breakfast scene and it's Spider-Man home fries. So, Captain Marvel is... I'm just waiting for the internet. Good. It was a deep dad joke. I'm waiting
Spider-Man
for the internet.
IHOB.
Oh, God. Oh, International House of Burgers. No. Why?
The International Home of Burgers.
It's not even a house?
No, I'm the home.
I thought they double leapt it, and I was like, they can't even get the H right. So, Spider-Man 3, International Home of Burgers, at Burger King, crossover, like Conor McGregor. Now, I really like that they're keeping with the home thing, like we talked about, for all those reasons, and I like that they're giving us a little morsel without revealing too much, because they're going to have a hell of a time advertising anything after the ending of Avengers.
Oh my gosh, there's going to be so much.
We've got a good one. Wade Reynolds said, Spider-Man, home run.
Got him. Huh? He's going to be a baseball
Just
player.
Just baseball.
Yeah.
That's an X-Men thing, but it works.
I mean, that could be its own little...
Spider-Man, home alone.
Tom Holland...
Yes.
So they're going to have a very hard time advertising. They're going to have a hard time. Like, basically, Sony needs to start advertising their movie 6 months before we see Avengers, at least a teaser. Mm-hmm. So how are they going to explain that? How is that going to, like, they're in a very rock and hard place. So trailers are going to be very tricky, which tangents me over to Captain Marvel. The trailer for Captain Marvel is not coming out soon. I like that. I want them to keep it close to the vest. I'm like that patient nerd where everybody's like, I want the entire Phase 4 slate. I want D23 to list the next 8 movies. I'm like, no, one at a time. Because I like you can never get a first impression twice. You can never be surprised again. So I will never see Captain Marvel in action again for the first time. So I want the trailer to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I want it to be, because then you get the Venom situation. I love the teaser, but I went on like 7 shows defending the teaser. Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of people don't, but like, they weren't ready to drop a teaser. So I was like, guys, you shouldn't have if you weren't ready.
Yeah.
So I want Captain Marvel to be like locked, because this movie is so important.
Yeah,
I get it, but I want it now.
I mean, it's just, I'm really interested in the marketing play for not only Captain Marvel, but then also Avengers 4, right? Yeah. Like, because, I mean, Avengers Infinity War is still in theaters. It's probably going to be in theaters for a little bit because it's, you know...
Still making money.
It's like the fourth highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, it's doing okay.
Yeah, it's doing all right. And Captain Marvel comes out in March?
Yeah.
Right? And then Avengers...
February, March? One of those, yeah.
And then Avengers 4... 2 months later in May.
Yeah.
And I think I heard somewhere that they're also going to push that one to April, like push it back to April.
I think they will. I think they'll do the same thing.
But that's, like, kind of insane, right? You go right from March into April, a month apart.
I guarantee the end of Captain Marvel is the beginning of something.
Yeah, they'll have to. Because, like, I mean, I think even for the MCU, because, you know, we get like 3 MCU movies a year, which is great for me.
It's a gift.
But, like, I just think from, like, a money-making standpoint, I think even for Marvel... the biggest, you know, money-making machine in the world, putting 2 movies
that
a month
close.
Apart
yeah.
is
yeah.
is dangerous from a box office perspective. And so I think the way they market is going to be super... because, like, Captain Marvel's still going to be in theaters when Avengers 4 comes out.
But look at Black Panther. I mean, that was February to April, so that was another full month. That was like a 9-week spread. If this is like a 5-week spread, I get what you're saying.
It's going to be more difficult.
I think Captain Marvel might be more of a part 1, part 2 to Avengers than Avengers part 1. I think there's going to be a very tight...
It might... But Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s, and
I think
so
the bookends. Yeah, I think it's gonna be
like Captain America, where like the most of the movie takes place in the 90s, then like the end cap is gonna be him in modern day. It'll have to be, but the marketing is gonna be super weird, because they're gonna start advertising. The latest they can start advertising has got to be like late
November?
December.
Yeah,
I mean,
Thanksgiving,
like,
push. Like,
yeah, if you give it like 3 or 4 months of marketing, and then. They said that they're not going to reveal the Avengers 4 title until after the first trailer comes out, right? Which I really like, but, like, you know, you're going to have your marketing machine pushing Captain Marvel, and then you're immediately going to have to be like Avengers 4 as well, guys, though it's coming out right
Avengers
after.
Avengers 4 doesn't need marketing.
It doesn't.
No. Avengers 4 can just be like, and it's out.
I just don't.
Here you go. Go
but
watch
I also
it.
Don't think they're going to like skimp on the marketing.
I think they can do 2 trailers instead of 3.
Yeah.
I think they don't need a teaser. Mm-hmm. And I think they don't need to release the title any earlier than that because it's got a built-in audience. Like, yeah, this first one making $2 billion, like,
I agree. Like,
but it is interesting. The marketing, no, I don't think any movie's ever had this problem, and it's a fascinating, yeah, like, good, like, yeah, bounty of riches.
It's,
we've got so much goodness. How do we market it, yeah, and how do we time it into our spoiler?
I think about it like kind of like the Avatar thing, right, where they're going to have good marketing for Avatar 2
to
because it's a
shit
decade later, right? It's the highest grossing movie of all time, so you'd think it had a built-in audience, but 10 years later,
yeah,
no, you know, it's,
yeah, everyone's kind of mad about
it. It's not part of the cultural conversation anymore. Avengers still is, so I don't think it'll need as big of a marketing push, but you know there's going to be billboards that are going to be like, see how it all ends.
Well, of course, that's going to be everything.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, I'm just curious how they're going to finagle it with Captain Marvel coming out a month beforehand.
I'm curious about Captain Marvel explaining to audiences who she is because her character is so dense, her origin is, yeah, so specific.
They're going to streamline it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But convincing audiences to be like, Kree technology, that alien who haven't fully introduced really in the comics, that blue person, you kind of know. Plus, it's
Scrolls.
Called Captain Marvel. So to the everyday audience, they're like, is Marvel just throwing, yeah, Captain in front of us?
Are they
shit?
Just jerking themselves out?
Are they just
out?
In love with, they're like, yeah, they're like, what if they mix Captain America and Marvel Comics? Like, that's not the case, but I guarantee, like, parts of the country,
yeah,
will be, or like, even not, even here, just people that don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carol Danvers has like, rocketed to the forefront in the comics, like,
right,
you know, in the past, what, like, 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely recent. They're definitely going to streamline her story with, like, Captain Marvel and the Kree and everything.
I'm fascinated by this movie.
I think it'll be okay, though. I think it'll be palatable to new audiences, hopefully. And the directors they got are great directors.
Oh, great.
Like, if you've seen Mississippi Grind, it's a lovely movie. I have faith in that movie. And I've never not liked an MCU origin film.
Right.
Like, even Doctor Strange, which I think is the most paint-by-numbers film that the MCU has put out, I still think is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have faith in them because I think Doctor Strange had a similar issue, like,
right,
introducing the concept of magic and Kamar-Taj and,
yeah,
and
it's
Dormammu.
A dense movie.
Yeah.
That one was insane to watch the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, even the second time for someone that didn't,
oh,
know,
yeah,
anything about it. I was like, whoa.
They're saying words you've never heard. They're,
right,
trying to like...
visually, I was like, mm-hmm, I know I'm having water, but what is in this water? Oh my gosh. But,
yeah,
I think also with Captain Marvel, I mean, you've got Brie Larson, and I think that says a lot. People,
yeah,
are,
you
gonna
know,
go to watch
Captain
it because
Marvel.
Of her.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Agree.
Yeah, because Brie Larson's an award-winning actress.
Yeah.
She's amazing. And,
yeah,
I think Captain Marvel benefits tremendously from having the Guardians of the Galaxy. We've already been introduced to the cosmic realm,
right,
like the cosmic side of Marvel. Like,
I think at this point they can put anything out and there's trust.
Oh, yeah.
After,
yeah,
there's like different tiers for me. Like when the Crossbones suit came out in Winter Soldier, I was like, oh, they trust us to believe in Power Rangers. And,
yeah,
then when Doctor Strange came out, like, oh, we believe in the cosmic realm. Like, there's different landmarks where it's like, we've earned this level of,
yeah,
whoa.
Exactly.
Like, I remember when Thor came out and I remember watching an interview about with the... I don't know if it was the director or if it was like Feige or somebody. They were like, so how are you, because I know Thor's more of like a mystical character. How are you going to introduce him into this more grounded, because, you know, by then
at that point, Iron Man Cap was...
We had Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
No, Captain,
oh,
Iron Man
Cap was
out,
the right after,
yeah,
Thor, yeah, that's right.
So we had Iron Man, which had this whole thing of like making the suit, this like kind of fantastical element, feel so grounded and so real that you could actually, there could actually be somebody who builds an Iron Man suit,
right?
Because that was the trend in superhero movies around 2008.
Right.
You had,
you
like,
had
the
Dark Knight
and Iron Man, making it all feel, like, super real and grounded, like it could actually exist. And I remember the response was like, well, you know, we're we're massaging it a little bit to where it's not quite magic, and it's,
right,
like, kind of technology. And then you have Thor. He has that line where it's like, In my world, we call it magic. In your world, we call it technology.
And they're the same.
Yeah,
like,
and I come from
a tree.
Yeah, he's like, I come from a place where they're one and the same. Then he draws the tree. But now, with, yeah, you're right. We hit that benchmark,
yeah,
of goodwill where, like, with Doctor Strange were like, so I know we kind of massaged it with Thor, but like we have full on magic. Now.
Eight it's short totally years later, they're like, here's a planet. Its name is Ego. It's alive. Also, Right. It's Kurt Russell. Like now audiences are like, whatever, okay. Let's do this. And I love that because comics are like that. Yeah, so Captain Marvel is definitely in a good spot to just go. And I think that people aren't talking. So Infinity War made all the money and my selfish Deadpool loving mother ass, it wants to say, Deadpool's making so much money, nobody's talking about it. So before we tangent on to more Infinity War news, I have been getting updates about Deadpool. It is doing so well. It's made $700 million worldwide. It's made $300 million domestic. It is now the number one comedy live-action sequel ever.
Yeah.
In history. Wow. It beat Hangover and all those. This, like, no one's talking about it. It's driving me crazy.
This past weekend, actually, I really...
Thank you.
I was... The thing that I remarked most on is that Deadpool 2 stayed in the top five.
Yeah.
While Solo, that came out a week before, left.
Right.
So, or came out a week after Deadpool, right?
Yeah, came out literally right after, and it just...
Yeah, so Deadpool's been in theaters longer.
Yeah.
But has stayed in the top five while
I just,
Solo
like, it's not getting... I just wanted a little shout-out to Deadpool, because it's hard to cover how much that's going on because of Infinity War.
It's number three or four this past weekend.
It's in the top five somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the top five.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was interesting. I was like, wow, so people are still going to see Deadpool, which I really appreciate.
Even with new releases coming out.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good movie.
Superhero fatigue, yeah, right.
Yeah, come on.
Like, yeah, guys, superhero fatigue, guys.
Guys,
come
the top five right now are Jurassic World, which just came out, Incredibles 2, superhero film, Ocean's 8, Tag, Deadpool 2, superhero film. Like,
oh, it's five.
It's five now, as of this past. Yeah. So, like, I think it's incredible, and I really think that, like, we need to look at how much, like, I woke up today and I was like, I'm so busy today because I need to watch Luke Cage. So I was like, I've got to watch an amazing show based on a comic and then go do a comic book talk show I run. And then I got to read a bunch of comics before I go see that comic movie tonight.
You poor thing.
What a life.
What, like, but how am I 2018? Like, what?
No, I know. I always say that, like, when I was a kid growing up, all I had were, like, X-Men.
Yeah.
The X-Men films. And Sam Raimi's Spider-Man films, and like I said, I found Blade later on.
But those were like every 3 years. They were spread out.
It was so few and far between. I was talking to you, I think, after the show last time I was here.
Yeah.
Where like, I would just gobble up anything. Like, I have, I love Ben Affleck's Daredevil. Because it's just like, it's just because like, that's all I had as a kid.
Yeah.
Where, like, that's, I was like, yeah, I'll watch anything. I love it all.
Yeah.
And now we're in such a renaissance. Like, we're in the golden age of superhero movies where like, we get 14 movies a year, 12,000 TV shows, and they're still comics.
And we'll get to the shows because the shows are killing it. And that's going to be the end of our show. And I'm hoping I got a theoretical phone-in guest that you guys will love if it works out. But on the journey there, Infinity War, the visual effects were staggering. I would argue Thanos was, I think, we were talking about benchmarks, I'd say Smeagol and now Thanos. Like, I'd say, like, you know, you had your Gollum level where you're like, they can make it real. Thanos, I think, is the new benchmark.
It's, it's like, weird to me. I was watching a VFX breakdown of Thanos online, like, where they kind of show the different layers of the effects that they put on. And it was just, like, so... It kind of like broke my immersion for a second of Infinity War, because when you're watching that movie, you don't even think about
it.
Not
once.
It's so like, you just buy into it. And I remember like they showed Benedict Cumberbatch on a green screen, like as he was supposed to be fighting Thanos.
Well, audience.
And I was like, wait.
If you'd like to watch this video while Mr. Trevor describes
it. Oh, that's exactly what we've got. That's exactly what we've got.
Here we are. Anthony, could you play this very descriptive video that's being described?
I just remember like watching this and I was like, wait, are you telling me he wasn't actually on another planet? I didn't.
What do you mean?
Wait, I didn't realize.
I really was there with them on Titan, right?
Yeah, I just like...
It was so crazy. Immersive. You were there.
Yeah, because normally when you watch like heavy green screen, you just know. Like part of your brain is like, yeah, okay, we're on a...
I'll suspend disbelief.
Right.
Oh, no. This movie puts you there.
Yeah.
And like the shot of Tony, like this one, that shot.
I'm gonna start crying.
He's in a t-shirt. Yeah. Like my brain was just like, why is Tony in a t-shirt? Like it just didn't... I couldn't accept that.
Yeah, it's...
The face. No.
I'm gonna cry. But yeah, it's like, just like
so insane. The stacks amazing. To make Thanos that high.
Yeah, so like it's for the actor's eye line.
Of course,
in case anybody watching like didn't know.
And like they on the first Deadpool, they had a 6'3" guy, and then he had more on top of him, Colossus. And Thanos, like, I love that the tech was like structure and solid and everything felt so tangible. Yeah. So I remember looking at BTS and Deadpool and being like, that'd be hard to act against. But Thanos was menacing on set.
Yeah.
Like I loved how, and Josh Brolin was there, like Josh Brolining. And they were saying, Paul Story, the animation supervisor, said, quote, Thanos' design incorporated a lot more of Josh Brolin's facial features in this film. We were mindful that Digital Domain was also working on Thanos, so both companies would often check in to make sure our characters were in sync, even though the facial pipelines are quite unique. So it was actually multiple companies making sure, like, this is working good.
It just looks so amazing. Like, it honestly did. You don't even think about it. Like, because normally, like I said, when you're on a green, you can tell you're watching the movie, you'd be like, okay, this is on a soundstage. But, like, when I'm watching it, I've seen Infinity War 4 times, and, like, every time I'm like, yep, I'm here on another planet. That's insane. Didn't think it would happen. We haven't even made it to Mars yet, but I'm in a different galaxy.
We're already Titan. There. Yeah.
This, to me, was the first movie where I never was removed. Yeah. And, the CGI was so strong throughout. And someone in the live chat was like, Gollum was 20 years ago. That's the thing. Like, in 20 years, look at... like the depth of animation and how incredible that was for that to be 20 years ago. Like that's impressive.
The only thing I think in Infinity War that sticks out to me a little bit is Iron Man's suit.
Looks
a little CGI sometimes.
The shading on his neck didn't always line up for me.
That's one thing I miss about the older MCU is like, you know, Iron. It's mostly an Iron Man suit because you see it a lot in Civil War as well.
Yeah, War Machine especially for me.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, back in the back in Iron Man 1 where they had like.
Yeah.
Most of the suit was like actual
practical
material. That's,
I
want them to bring that back at just once.
I also think it's interesting because sometimes when people get so not full of themselves, but they get overconfident about like, oh yeah, we have a lot of money, like don't worry.
It's fine.
It's gonna look great. Sometimes they lose track of like, no guys, you went a little too far. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're keeping it as real as
any filmmakers out there or actors, if anyone says fix it in post, don't work with them again. Because a lot of times this is what happens. And this is Marvel. This is the studio. And sometimes they were also talking about how they revealed the ending to certain actors. And I love this story so much. Do you know this?
No.
So the Russo brothers obviously revealed it to different people at different times. It was one of those scripts that you kept close to the vest and you didn't fully, especially Tom Holland running around.
You only got sides on the day.
Yeah. And like you get a lot of fake sides. Like I've been on scripts where you have completely fake sides, but that you just hit the emotional beats.
Yeah.
And then later on they tell you what those lines meant. Like, and then they had another actor doing completely different lines. Like, I've been on those sets where you're just like, I react with this reaction, and I have no idea why. So they were even more in-depth. So they were saying that the Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany team, like those people on that day, were basically brought into a van.
Oh my gosh.
And then told what the ending was, and then they opened the van doors and had them go to the scene.
That's so Black Ops.
Like, they got, like, FBI. They got, like, pulled into a van. Okay, this is what's... Go act.
Man, that would be so hard as
Can you
actor.
Imagine?
Yeah, I mean, like, just as an actor, like, knowing, like, okay, you're gonna have a huge emotional breakdown. Right now, go do it.
You're welcome.
Like, I...
Like, so Liz Olsen said, quote, I found out from the Russos exactly what was going to happen, and it wasn't until we shot it on that day we learned what the ending was. They took us into a van, all of us. We were in a van with air conditioning because it was very hot, and they told us how the movie was going to end, and no one knew. And then they were like, now we're shooting. Go! End quote.
I mean, it's amazing. I love the lengths that they go to protect their secrets.
I mean, love
that's
that.
Amazing, yeah.
Because none of us knew. Like, Avengers was one of the first movies where I knew, I do a show about it, and I knew so little.
Yeah.
And it felt great to discover it with the audience.
Yeah, I think Avengers Infinity War probably better than any other movie or sequel that I've ever seen. Really like subverted the audience expectations in probably just the most clever way I've ever seen.
And Amy was in the room with us when we had to do our spoiler free and she hadn't seen it yet.
I was trying to read you guys.
And she were professionals.
You were professionals, but you also had this look on your face like, what?
I can't.
We'd seen death.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever be able to talk about this movie without spoilers. Like,
we had a screening at 10 a.m. and wrapped the screening and then had to do Collider Heroes 20 minutes after the screening. I only had the drive to compute and it was a spoiler-free review.
No.
I had to talk for half an hour, no spoilers, 20 minutes of digestion, and then come here. So I spoke for 4 hours straight after like suffering for 4 hours straight.
Dude.
It was the most exhausting day of hosting.
I literally couldn't do that because when I saw it for the first time, I cried for 30 minutes afterwards.
It was brutal.
I really did. Like I was with my girlfriend. I was just on a drive home. I was just crying. It was just a quiet drive home.
I love your girlfriend being the most like, go talk comics. Good, good, good. Like I met Trevor with his girlfriend, and we were outside the live showdown, and his girlfriend was the most like supportive. Please talk comics. Please, he needs this outfit. Let him have this. And that's when I was like, we'll have him on the show, because she was just like, she like quietly was like, good.
Yeah,
good,
she was very good. Reserved. It was great. Because like Koi and I obviously like went off talking about all this
instant
stuff,
tangent, and like, yeah. And she was like, there was just this piece on her face like. Ah, oh, he knows the language they're speaking. This is good. This is good for them. It was the cutest thing. Like, I love meeting couples and seeing, like, the dynamic of, like, nerddom. Because if they're both into it, you suddenly, like, have this, like, this flank. Like form geese, and you all start talking.
Right.
And then there's, like, the girlfriend that's like, I don't know what they're saying. But then there's the girlfriend that's like, everything's good now. Yeah. He's got a happy place. It was very cute. So Avengers, I had the same thing. I saw it with Markia, and people started talking in the press screening as soon as the credits started. Mm-hmm. And Markia and I were both crying, and we both looked at each other like, how can they speak?
Yeah.
I'm not ready to talk again. So it was really special. Obviously, we've talked about Avengers a lot, and we'll continue to. It's amazing. But Loki, Tom Hiddleston, actually knew he was going to die 2 years before the movie came out.
Interesting.
That is crazy.
What do you think about this? I loved this.
That is crazy. But also, I love it so much, because that means that every single time that he was Loki, like in, what, Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that before the filming
of
Thor?
He knew on Ragnarok that he was dying in...
Which I love even more, because that means that each decision that he made as an actor, there was subtext.
Yeah, there was that knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes just his performance even that more.
It's very interesting. I need to rewatch Thor Ragnarok again.
I need to now after Avengers. I need to like now that I'm...
That just that info makes me want
to
watch
right
it,
to like, see like his
just to
choices.
Watch him.
Mm-hmm. So, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I'm choked up remembering.
Excuse us.
Is Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is wrapped on writing. Because I consider a movie in three stages.
Three times.
It is made when it's written, it is made when it's shot, and it is made when it's edited.
Yeah.
It's how I believe movies exist. So the wrapping on the writing is done, and to me, movie one, finished. So I love that he took a year to write this. I follow James Gunn on the social medias, and the man, like, retreats off to write constantly. The man works his butt off. And he tweeted that it's his whole heart. He tweeted, like, this is everything when he said it was done. Like, my whole heart is here.
Yeah.
And he also said, and it was a fairly big reveal, that this takes place after Avengers.
Yeah.
A lot of the Avengers were trying to, like, cover the spoilers and being like, you don't know when it happens.
Yeah.
And I love that, because everyone's like, so someone just straight up tweeted James Gunn, and he just said it will be after, period.
Yeah.
So all of those rumors are sadly squashed. I was hopeful to not know until we knew. Like, I was hopeful to go into these movies going like, maybe.
Well, he said it's going to be after Infinity War.
Right.
Yeah, not after Avengers 4. Though, I mean, we know that Avengers 3 and Avengers 4 bleed right into each other, so... Presumably, it'll be after Avengers 4.
Yeah. Mid-dusting.
Right, exactly.
The whole movie.
It's just Rocket Raccoon. That's Avengers. That's Guardians 3. It's just Rocket.
Him and Nebula just running around hoping to figure out the world.
Oh, man. Mm. Fake laugh hiding real pain.
Yeah, that's real. And if you guys have seen that meme going around on the internet, there's that amazing thing where Nebula says in Guardians 2, like, you're going to leave me with the rodent. And that's exactly what happens in Guardians.
Oh,
and there's
have
you seen that thing in Civil War? There's a scene in Civil War where all of the Avengers...
That I have seen, yeah.
All the Avengers are sitting on one side of the table with Tony in the distance, and then all the Avengers that get dusted are on the other side of the table, and the Russos made both, so I feel like they were
My
like,
cynical brain wants
what?
To say that that's a coincidence.
OG team, new team.
Yeah.
I tweeted that it might be a coincidence,
yeah,
but I love that.
I think the Russos are geniuses. I just don't know if anybody would have had that kind of forethought.
That's four or five years by the time we film it to come out.
I mean, that was before they were confirmed to be directing as well,
yeah.
So...
They planted all the seeds for the reveal, but who knows if that was actually... But it's a cool visual, and I also think that if anyone can do it, it's the Russos.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah,
I like your optimism.
I mean, I think in any case, whether it's coincidence or not, like we were talking about with Loki, it just adds more subtext when you go back and rewatch those films.
Yeah,
later,
I agree. So basically it takes place after, we've got a couple quotes about Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's kind of what we just summarized that, one of the Russos said, Anthony Russo said, quote, here's the thing. I think it's important to remember anything is possible in the MCU. Just because there's a sequel in the books doesn't mean, I mean, people become accustomed to time moving linearly in the MCU. That doesn't necessarily have to be the case. There's a lot of very inventive ways where the story can go. Joe Russo followed up saying, there's 4 years between Guardians 2 and Infinity War. That's a long time and a lot of Guardian stories to tell. Again, as Anthony said, don't expect anything to move forward in linear fashion in the universe.
That's so interesting.
So they're literally like, maybe.
Yeah.
But also, like, ignore everything that you think you may know.
Yeah.
And right?
Just roll with it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, there are a lot of people that say, like, how could you even take Infinity War seriously? Like, you know they're not going to be dead. Spider-Man is a sequel.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, I was thinking about it, like, I don't go into these movies thinking about, like, I'm taking the movie at face value, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, that's how you allow yourself to become immersed in a story and enjoy it.
Exactly. You got to be in the movie as much as possible. Otherwise, yeah. why are you there? You're not there to look at the sequel. Like, right. it's why I'm not big on prequels, is the stakes are so low. And if you yeah. put yourself in that position, you're doing it to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, well, exactly. and if it's real for the characters, it's real for us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So but whatever. I mean,
I just love the quote. I love that even either they're trolling or it's a possibility.
Well, here's a question. Is it, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Ant-Man and the Wasp the first movie that jumps back? Like, from the last movie that we saw that jumps back in time?
As a full movie, I think so. Because yeah. we've had flashes, like, back and forth. Like, yeah. obviously, like, a lot of flashbacks in these movies. And Ant-Man did a lot of flashbacks. Right. So the chronology is tricky. And they like, said Spider-Man chronology is just false.
Yeah. And, yeah. and you know, obviously, like, Captain America took place in the 40s, but...
the bookends.
Like, yeah, right, yeah. exactly. But for the, like, as a full movie, it's the first one where, like, this takes place before... It's like... I don't mean anything by this comparison, but it's like the Rogue One of,
right, right.
of the MCU.
It's right? setting up a story that takes place with characters that we don't know how it ends in the movie that already came out.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Hawkeye first one that plays with a timeline like that.
And I think Hawkeye will come into play because of that.
Ooh, interesting.
That's my theory. Yeah. Having not seen it, I'm seeing it tonight. I think Hawkeye pops up in Ant-Man.
Again, I'm a plebeian and I have to wait till the release date to see it. So.
I'll just text you the third act.
Yeah.
No!
just message me
the
live.
The post-credit scene. Yeah. You're like, what have you done? and even Chris Pratt said, quote, the movie might take place in the past. It might be a prequel. So everyone's trolling except James Gunn, or perhaps only James Gunn is trolling.
James Gunn's super real, and I love that about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
He's such like a punk rock director and writer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, put Jimmy Urine in Guardian Studios and MSI.
No.
It's a band called Mindless Self-Indulgence that are, like, crazy punk rock. One yeah. of the Ravagers was the lead singer. Like,
oh, that's so
James
cool.
Gunn is that, like, punk yeah. rock. I love that.
That's awesome.
So, filming for Guardians 3 will start in 2019. The script is done. Writer-director James Gunn has delivered a draft, and they will begin official pre-production very soon. They'll be, according to Feige, they'll be shooting early next year. Captain Marvel finishes in about 2 weeks. Spider-Man starts in about 2 weeks, and then Guardians 3. Can you imagine what Pinewood is like? They're just right. shifting in and out of our dreams. Yeah. Like, we're going to wrap this in 2 weeks. Spider-Man's going to start in 2 weeks. Then by next year, Guardians 3. Like, that. Can you imagine just walking into their storage?
Right.
Like, it's just our happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just sliding nice. Dreams in and out.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's one time I was working on a project, and I had to go to a special effects studio to get, like, a head mold, like a mm-hmm. mold of my head done. And this was the studio that, like, works on a lot of the MCU TV shows.
Oh,
and so
sick.
They had, like, Daredevil helmets around.
Oh,
and
dude, I would have lost my mind.
I did. I got to hold one.
That's
and I was
sick.
Like, this is the coolest. Like, I it was a dream come true. I was
dude,
like,
that's
this is
so
thing
cool.
I've ever seen. Yeah, so that's just a little
bit. Yeah, the moments you can see any prop, like, when I gotta say it again, audience. When I did the Infinity War red carpet, they had almost all the costumes set up. So I walked in and I was more enchanted. I like didn't want to interview people because I just wanted yeah. to be amongst the costumes and props.
Oh,
so I was just wandering. There's like the Winter Soldier cap outfit, the regular cap outfit, Black Panther suit, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange's Tibetan monk robes look like actual monk robes.
Yeah.
They're so beautiful and like detailed and layered. Yeah, so I lost my mind. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So the slate for Marvel is crazy, and the future of Marvel films is even crazier because it looks like we're getting Young Avengers. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
What do you guys know about Young Avengers? Do you like the characters?
Yeah, I love them. I'm wondering though are they going to be Young Avengers or New Avengers? Like as we move forward in the MCU, that I think it'll probably be more of a New Avengers vibe because I think you'll have Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, probably Bucky as Cap. You know, Scarlet Witch. So they won't necessarily be young teenagers.
I think we're going to see both.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get a young team.
I think because they were talking about Kamala Khan coming
yeah.
in as well. So I'm super interested in that. So I think if you have we might see how the Spider-Verse movie ties into
yeah.
like having I think there's a lot of potential for like younger characters having a Young Avengers team set up.
You hear about Silk?
Yeah.
That's all very exciting. We don't have a lot of details on Silk, so we didn't include it as an actual. But Silk is rumored. The incredible character, the Korean-American character of Silk, is so much fun. She was in a basement for 6 years, and then she got released, and then she had to rediscover the world. And, like, the fish in a bottle story, I love the idea of a character, like, rediscovering what, like, life is. Like, you get an Encino Man, a character. That's so much fun.
It'll be interesting to see, I mean, if the Sony films do eventually tie into the MCU films, as is rumored. It'll be interesting to see with Miles and with Spider-Gwen and all these other characters if they'll transition to like a Web Warriors type thing.
You get so many options.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. The Young Avengers idea is fairly recent. Feige said there's a lot of potential characters that are among the list of all of them. He's looking at the swath of Marvel, saying, quote, marketing's coming up with a lot of things. How to debut these plans, how to debut Captain Marvel, lots of opportunities for fun, exciting stuff coming up. And after Avengers 4, being less cagey about it, I think we might see some of these characters introduced in Avengers 4 because of that quote.
Ooh. That'll be, oh, wow.
I think the end of Avengers 4 is a full on. Remember the first time you saw Civil War? And the airport scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're going to get a Young Avengers and New Avengers team at the end of Avengers 4, and he's talking about it now.
That'll be super interesting. I think the thing I'm most excited for is Kamala Khan out of all these things, because I really like that character. And I think Incredibles 2 kind of showcased with Elastigirl what you can do with those types of powers.
Yeah,
I know that was animation, and live action is different, but
it was beautiful.
It'll be really interesting to see. And so I think having a kind of backdoor pilot, so to speak, with Avengers 4 and all these other younger
characters. That's what I think they're doing,
man. It'd be really interesting.
And it could go TV as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I don't know about the idea of Young Avengers being introduced at the end of Avengers 4. I wonder if that's almost too soon, but I'd also be willing to roll with it. But it's like, we really have no idea. And the fact that they're like, oh yeah, we're thinking about doing Young Avengers and lots of other characters as well. You're just like, okay, well, when are they going to be introduced? And is it going to start sooner than we think?
Yeah.
You know, actually, that's actually not too far-fetched, I think.
It's right there. Because, you need a lot of heroes.
Because, especially with Captain Marvel being introduced or brought into, like, the larger MCU with Avengers 4, that'd be an interesting opportunity to connect Captain Marvel to Ms. Marvel.
Yep.
Like, if you just, like, you could just have Captain Marvel fighting Thanos or aliens or whatever on a TV, and you just see a Kamala Khan, like, looking on and, like, watching the TV in awe, right? Like, that would be such an interesting...
And because it's in the 90s, she will have been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, 25 years.
She'll be experienced.
So, what you do is you... Because it takes place in, like, 91. Mm-hmm. So, what you do is you introduce her in her own movie, give her the hero story. When she comes into Avengers 4, she brings a team with her. She brings people with her, and then you meet that team, and then the next movie is introducing them with their own origins. But you bring in Kamala Khan, you bring in Young Avengers, any of these people, but you can have them be on Captain Marvel's squad because she's had 25 years to assemble whatever.
Yeah. Oh, so she's kind of like the mama bear.
I'm saying she's leading a different team.
Interesting. I like that.
I would like also the introduction of a new, younger generation of fans. Because, I mean, 2008 is when we all started watching these MCU films, like, consistently. Yeah. I mean, there are people that weren't even born yet.
It's interesting. Yeah. Like, there are kids who have grown up on the MCU.
I'm so jealous of them.
Yeah.
Seeing kids discover Spider-Man in Civil War is one of my favorite things. Like, when I was watching Civil War, I'd love to... This sounds creepy, but it's not. I'd love to, like, knowing that scene was coming up, just, like, look around and see little kids, like... Like, winning, like, you know, the bus stuff and, like, all that stuff. And just seeing kids come out of the theater talking about it was just like, did you see Spider-Man? Because he's their age or, you know, a little older, but he's more identifiable.
Yes.
To see, like, a new generation get a Spider-Man is one of my favorite things that's happened with the MCU.
Yeah.
And this could happen with the Young Avengers. Feige said to Heroic Hollywood, Marvel has been planting seeds for the Young Avengers' eventual appearance for quite some time. In response to a question from outlets asking if it was possible to see more young heroes like Young Avengers joining the Marvel TV shows like Runaways and Cloak and Dagger, he said, quote, well, sure. And both of those you just mentioned we talked about for a long time and went over to be successful TV shows. We've always been fans of Power Pack and figuring that out. And yes, so where and when we could see evolution from that, I don't know. And certainly taking our cue from the comics as we always do, that's why we wanted Cassie, a very young Cassie in this movie, to be inspired by her father, just planting in case. freaking, that's you have your Cassie, right, and then you go to Young Avengers because Ant-Man doing well. And then you've got Cloak and Dagger doing well. Like, there's so much. I just love how much he just tends the garden. Like, he knows he's planting seeds.
Hey, man, if you're going to bring Cloak and Dagger in, you bring in the Defenders first, right, man. They deserve it.
That poor, like, TV. We're almost to them, actually. But yeah, that poor TV, like, corner. I feel like Matt Murdock. I want him to just...
I remember reading, like, you know, the Russo brothers were considering bringing, like, Daredevil or the Defenders into Infinity War, and then they decided against it. I just, like, I want it.
It's so hard. I can't imagine those schedules.
I'm just, like, I'm super about that interconnectivity. I mean, that's something I love about comics, and I know that, like, the MCU started out emulating that with their different TV shows and then the movies, and it was all connected, but we haven't seen, like, the really broad strokes of connectivity, like, you know, a Marvel team up or whatever.
Yeah, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has touched on it, but it's hard to really...
Yeah.
So we also have, basically, the first time Kevin Feige has commented on LGBT characters debuting in the MCU, saying, quote, both characters you've seen and the ones you haven't seen have leanings towards being gay, but we haven't seen those sides of it yet. Tessa Thompson has been very clear about Valkyrie being bisexual, but they cut those scenes, which bothered me a lot, because that emotional impact of that other Valkyrie dying would have been twofold. Tenfold if they'd actually had the love story that was built in. So he promised that going forward, not only would be getting more characters representing more types of people, but they'd be focusing on that. They'd be leaning into it. They'd be making sure that was a focus. He also today was saying how they want the MCU to be more than 50% female.
About time. Going forward. Yeah.
So I love that Kevin Feige is like, okay, well, we've built this universe. The comics are traditionally heterosexual white dudes. So here's the world we built. Now we can bring in everything else, because our brand is so strong that, like, the people that get mad at the people that are going to call me an SJW for saying any of this, they are already seeing these movies. So, like, they've already established.
You're
paying for it, bro. Yeah, they've already, like, made this brand so strong. So you can be mad at me on the internet all you want. Kevin Feige's just like, money. Yeah. So, like, now's the time that you've got everything set up. It is time.
I really love that. You know, like, one thing that I know some people don't like about the comics currently. But something that I really appreciate is when you look at the, like, you know, they have, like, the promotional images of all these new heroes and, like, the state of Marvel Comics now, you just see such a diverse cast of characters. Yeah. Like, Marvel Comics, like, especially with their legacy characters, like Ironheart and Jane Foster's Thor and Cap Falc, as I call him. Yeah. Like, you know, Falcon as Captain America. You just... It's so diverse, and I really like it. Like, I love that the MCU is kind of following that path of having, you know, a more diverse cast of characters.
And Spider-Man Homecoming looked like New York. That started, and then they can keep going. So I really think they've done some really incredible stuff. We had so much news this week. We'll actually not be able to cover it all, but I want to let you guys know, as we get to the last couple things, Luke Cage... We have started. Let's talk Luke Cage briefly, and then we'll dive back in, and then we'll see what kind of time we got. Luke Cage, I am not done with. I'm not even halfway with. How far did you get?
Three.
Okay, so I'm at 5, 3, 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so overall impressions from the jump, like, just where you guys are now.
Yes. I love it. I love the music, but I love the amount of, like, super intense, awesome strength that women are showing even more so in this season, but also Luke's kind of transformation.
Yeah,
he's going through stuff, and I like that.
His ego is crazy.
The thing I really love is, like, and it was something that I felt it wasn't lacking, but, like, you know, as Luke Cage season one ended and then the Defenders, I was like, okay, you know, I'm still kind of wanting a little bit of this just because I'm a fan of the comics, is the Heroes for Hire stuff.
Yeah.
You definitely get sense of, like, it kind of leaning in that direction.
Need the money, and they talk about money a bit more.
Yeah, and I'm really digging watching that transformation. And as she said, the women in this season are just so great. Like, Misty Knight was easily the best part, her and Cottonmouth, the best parts.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, they were the best parts of season one, and I love watching... I just love watching Misty Knight. She's great. And so far I'm really digging the direction.
I love the music.
Yeah, and the music is so strong.
That's still. I mean, for me, the first season, like, I discovered so many artists from
it. Yeah, dude.
Like, so, Jidenna's one of my go-tos.
I was going to say, dude, Jidenna's song, Long Live the Chief.
Dude, I run to constantly.
Yeah, it's on my workout playlist.
I saw him live here. He toured, and I got to see him because of Luke Cage.
It's such a good, like, I'd never heard that song. I'd heard some of Jidenna's music, But that song, like,
yeah.
In season one, I was like, oh my God, I need that on
and
my playlist.
And I love that Harlem feels like a character that they can, it's almost like you can have a musical guest every week, but feels controlled. It doesn't feel like trite.
Yeah.
It's the only show I think I've ever seen where it's like, and musical guest, this character that's on brand.
It's so interesting that club acts as a plot device to introduce like musical artists.
And I love
it's
that.
So interesting.
Yeah. And I've never seen a movie, a narrative do that before, like a fiction narrative.
Right.
Slightly reminds me of Charmed with P3.
Oh, yeah.
But this is done better. But,
I never would have thought of that. That's a great point.
You know, times have changed, but...
And I love how much the show leans into Harlem being a character. We talk about this in every Netflix show. But I feel like Daredevil protecting Hell's Kitchen is his birthright. You know, Jessica Jones, the way she protects her corner because of, like, obligation and how she's like, I don't really want to, but I'm a good person. Luke Cage's Harlem thing, they all have the same goal, but they all handle it so differently.
Even the
that's such good writing.
Even the villains in Luke Cage like care about Harlem.
Like everyone,
yeah, and Kingpin. Oh,
but that's what I mean. Like they have different narratives, but it's the same goal, and the writing is so good that you're like, wait, this doesn't feel familiar. Like every single one of them wants the same goal, and that's why the villains are good. But all the writing is so good, you're like, this doesn't feel like I'm rewatching season one. It feels completely new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm digging it. We're on episode five. I'm on episode five. They just started as well, so we're not gonna do any spoilers, obviously, because we don't have anything to spoil. But the tone of the show, I think I like it more than the first season so far.
Yeah.
I do miss Cottonmouth, but I knew that was gonna happen because the second half of the first season I miss Cottonmouth. So I really think
they have Bushmaster.
He's great.
That's interesting. The first episode, no spoilers.
Yeah, he's intense.
Yeah.
His fighting style when you get to it really is insane.
Yeah.
The acrobatic, like there's a lot. Yeah. So basically we had a guest that we were gonna have on. We're gonna have him on next week. It's gonna be very exciting next week because he knows the ins and outs of Marvel. He's been on many Marvel sets. He's involved with Ant-Man, so we can talk about that. And we also had more news here, but we've already gone an hour and
have
you know there yeah
oh my gosh.
it's actively 3:15 right now.
Wow.
So quickly, Peyton Reed wants to do a Fantastic Four movie. He was attached to one before. He wants to come back with Ant-Man and the Wasp doing well, with Ant-Man doing well. Fantastic Four seems like a thing that could happen. And with the Fox merger going through, that is definitely a thing that could happen. Speaking of the Fox merger has been accepted, but all of the T's and I's are not dotted and crossed yet. So they have accepted a larger deal of 71 to 73 billion, depending on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Holy jumping. That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
This is the biggest thing of our lifetime, I think, as far as mergers.
Oh,
That's nuts.
Especially as like a media conglomerate.
And like next week, we'll have more details, so we can cover that more next week. Silk, as I mentioned before, is moving forward. They've announced it. They've talked about it. They don't have any details, whether it's animated, whether it's live action, but they've had those conversations. Black Widow's down to a short list of directors, but we don't have the final. I'm hoping next week we have an actual director as opposed to talking about all the maybes. Maybe we can have one. And then, okay, covered that. Was there any news story? We covered Luke Cage, Cloak and Dagger. We'll talk about more next week. I'm on episode 3, so I'll watch 4 and 5 before next week. What was your favorite thing that happened in all of this madness this week? As we wrap, what a summation.
Probably Spider-Man Far From Home. I'm ready for it. And I love Tom Holland. So anything that he's willing to share, that he can share, I'm excited for.
Totally
so,
get it. Yep.
Yeah, I'm probably on the same page because, you know, Spider-Man's my guy, always has been. There's just so much, like, I think a lot of our discussion was about, like, the comments that have been made throughout the past week on, like, Avengers 4 and Guardians and Captain Marvel. And so I think all of this is setting the stage for the state of the MCU post-Avengers 4.
Right.
Like, all these comments, all these, like, upcoming movies, it's a mystery.
Right.
And so, like, kind of... Like I said, it's all setting the stage, so I'm just really like prepped and ready to see like Avengers 4 is going to drop and our worlds are going to change, and I'm really excited to see where it goes.
I completely agree. And Spider-Man's mine as well. I mean, my Spider-Man bias is strong, but a lot of these things are like, they just have me like excited. They're like teasing, whereas Spider-Man felt like I got an information that my brain can play with the imagination of that more. Like Far From Home, I can like daydream about.
Yeah.
So much happened this week because they had the Ant-Man premiere. A lot of people were getting interviewed, a lot of the quotes, all those things. I expected it to be a slow week, so that's why we had a guest that we didn't have time to make work, and we will next week, hopefully. Because between now and Comic-Con, I imagine it's going to be slower, except for this Ant-Man week. Next week, we'll be discussing Ant-Man spoiler free. We'll be discussing Luke Cage with light spoilers, maybe full spoilers, but we'll separate that as we'll have Markia back. And then we'll have time to dive deeper into the things I just kind of ran through, because hopefully next week we'll know more about the merger. Hopefully next week we'll know more about the Black Widow directors, all the things that I kind of just at you in the last few minutes. This was a big old show. Where can they find you on the internet?
on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. I also do stuff at Geek Bomb, so feel free to follow us there. If you like anything nerdy, which I'm pretty sure you do since you're already watching us, make sure to follow us. I also do other shows on AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk, so Marvel TV Weekly, as well as, you know, Marvel Movie News, Box Office Breakdown, and Netflix Picks.
All right. And, sir, Trevor, where are they finding
you? You guys can find me at Trevor_Steins on Instagram, Twitter, and, like I said, Vero. And shout out to Koi's mom, who said I was adorable last time I was
on.
My mom, she watches every week. And you can find me here always on Twitter and Instagram at CoyJandreau. IGTV, I just started doing that. You can find me on Heroes Monday and this Wednesday. You can find me in Vegas this week, and you can find me at Screen Junkies on Wednesday. You can find me on the internet on Thursday. I'm doing a lot this week, so find me. I love you guys. See you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.